Blog Talk Radio.
A new day in Christian radio begins with a Christian perspective. Broadcasting live from New York City with your host, Elder Raymond E. Williams. Featuring exciting guests and interviews, current topics, and a Christian perspective. And now get ready for a Christian perspective starting right now. Hello, how you doing? You are listening to A Christian Perspective.
Oh my God, you are my God. I believe in you.
This is A Christian Perspective, and my name is Elder Raymond Williams. How you doing this evening? We're certainly glad that you can stop in and take a listen with us today. By the way, you are listening to none other than the fabulous Hope Askew singing her song, You Are the One. You are the one, Hope Askew. So how you been? How's it going? I pray that everything is well with you and yours. You know, we're finally into summertime. You know, sometimes it seems like we could never get here, but yes, this is the summertime. The schools are finally closed and the children are out. And well, we're looking for sunny and warm and hot days that are coming up. And the truth is, we thank God for it because it was a long, cold winter. And even still, while this is the summer, it still is a little bit on the chilly side. But we're certainly glad for this time of year. By the way, if you ever get the chance, you know, those of you who know a word of prayer, I ask that you pray a prayer for me, Raymond Williams, Elder Raymond Williams. And but, you know, also pray for the sick and the shut-in. As a matter of fact, we have a few people that I would like for you to pray for. I'd like for you to pray for my good friend Donald Gums, who was a mentor of mine, but not only a mentor of mine, he spent a lot of time with this broadcast and helping to develop it. So, you know, right now he's not doing as well as he would like to. So I ask that you keep the Reverend Donald Gums in your prayers. Maybe you have heard a few days ago on Wednesday, the 24th, in the city of Mount Vernon, two young men were in a car and the car flipped over and they both died in the accident. Well, upon further investigation, it was found that both men had actually been shot. So I only know the name of one gentleman because his aunt is actually a member of my congregation, but I ask that you keep Kevin Shaw's family in your prayers. And you also want to pray for the sick and the shut-in everywhere, those people who can't get out, those people who can't get a word of prayer from their preachers or can't get a word. We ask that you pray for them. And as a matter of fact, we're going to touch on a little bit of prayer right now. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to thank you, God, for your loving kindness. We ask, Father, that you bless those who are sick and those who are shut in, Father. We pray, Lord, that you might heal someone today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord, that you help the Kevin Shaw family who has just had a disaster happen to them, oh God. Young man was only 26 years old, Lord. We ask, God, that you bless his family, Lord, and help them, God, through this time, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And of course, you know, my good friend, the Reverend Donald Gums, Lord, we ask God that you bless him and his family as well. You know what he's going through. You know the struggles, Father, that he's going through. And we ask, Lord, that you touch him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We love you, Father. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but a lot has been going on in the United States of America. There has been a huge debate about the Confederate flag. The Confederate flag has been a huge debate in not just in New York, but throughout this country. And as a matter of fact, it was all started because of what happened in South Carolina. South Carolina, they still fly the Confederate flag in their state capitol, in front of their state capitol building. And people want the flag to be taken down. And this is not just black people, but this is white people. This is people of all denominations. This is people of all races. They want the flag down. Now, there are a number of debates concerning the flag. As a matter of fact, those who come from the South, those Caucasians, I should say, I don't like to say white people, but you know, that is what they are. But those who consider themselves white, they say that the Confederate flag is actually a part of their heritage, and that heritage should not be taken down. Well, on the other hand, those who have been hurt by people who consider themselves prideful to the Confederate flag, like African Americans, for instance, say that they want it down. They say that the Confederate flag represents hatred. It represents Jim Crowism. It represents lynching. It represents the rapes that happened. It represents slavery. It represents the Ku Klux Klan. It represents everything dastardly and cruel that has happened to African Americans in the United States of America, and they want it down. You know, I wish that, you know, when you're talking to two groups of people, I wish that, you know, we can come to some kind of, and I don't want to say peaceful, because it's always peaceful, even though you are agreeing, but I wish we can come to some kind of center of agreement, you know. Now, the truth is that I understand what they're talking about when they say that, you know, it's their heritage. You see, it's their heritage because they did not see the things that we saw. You know, what they saw was just good old boys. They saw good times and the days when they used to drink mint juleps and you know, they had the big cotton fields and the big tent plantations and everything was just fine. But on the other hand, African Americans, what we saw was hatred and cruelty and slavery, you know. You know, if you could walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, I think that you would learn a whole lot about them. What do you think? If you could walk in somebody else's shoes. By the way, you can give us a call, and if you don't agree with me, or even if you do agree with me, you can actually call in, and you can help us talk about these subjects. You can call area code 917-889-2234. That's area code 917-889-2234. By the way, it's not only the Confederate flag that there's a debate about. There's also a debate about guns. You know, there are people who want to stop the violence and the guns. Okay, most people, I believe, who think critically say that, you know, if you took the guns away, maybe there would not be so many killings. As a matter of fact, there has been a national poll, and we find that 1 in 3 Americans owns a gun. 1 in 3 Americans own a gun. Now, you know, I know that in the South and farmers and people like that, that, you know, it's important for them to have guns. You know, guns, rifles, and shotguns, it helps them while they're hunting. But, you know, those people who have cattle, okay, that can be hurt by wild animals, what they do is they always keep their gun with them, their rifle with them, so that they can actually kill any wild dog or wolf or bear or lion or whatever attacks their herd. And that is so understandable. That is so understandable. You know, but when we talk about taking away the guns, we're talking about not allowing the guns to be so accessible to everyone. You know, if the guns were not so accessible, then maybe people couldn't buy all of these guns and then actually transport them up to New York and Chicago and Philadelphia and Detroit and all of these places where guns are not allowed. Maybe there would not be so many firearms in the streets. Maybe there would not be so many drive-by shootings. Maybe less people would get killed. Now, you know, I just don't understand why people just can't see that. I don't understand. You know, a CNN poll today says that there is more racism since Obama came into office. In other words, since we have an African-American president, there has been more racism than ever before. But I disagree with that poll. You see, I don't think that there's more racism. I just think that because there is an African-American president, that people are afraid and they're acting out more on their racism, or they're more overt with their racism than they were before. Because as soon as we had an African-American president, you know, we started seeing blackface drawings, you know, with President Obama in blackface or with a bone through his nose and with big earrings on. And, you know, I mean, really disrespectful stuff. So folks have been more disrespectful now than they have ever been. So they're just acting out what's always been there. So I don't believe that there's more racism. I just believe that folks are acting out on their racism because we have an African-American president. And also they're saying some terrible things about Mrs. Obama, who's actually a very lovely lady, very respectful, very dignified, and very intelligent. But such is America. Amen. By the way, you know, like I said, if you have a question or you have a comment, you can always give us a call at area code 917-889-2234, area code 917-889-2234. We're live. This is Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Okay, give us a call. Now, we all know about the two convicts that escaped a few days ago, and they made infamy because they were free for a record-breaking 3+ weeks. You know, as a matter of fact, the record has been that no one has ever been free from a prison or escaped from a prison and been able to stay away to and not get caught, rather, in more than 24 hours. So whenever a prisoner has escaped in New York, the history has been that they have never been free for more than 24 hours. These convicts actually in the Dannemora prison, it's called the Clinton State Correctional Institution in Dannemora, New York, were able to stay free for 3+ weeks. Come to find out, what happens is that an employee of the prison actually helped them to escape. And of course, right now she's locked up behind bars. But now, those who lived in the area were actually very, very frightened because here you got these two men that are free. And of course, these men were actually killers. They were in prison for life. And for some reason, they got on the honor system where they didn't have to be watched. And they was able to roam in places where the other prisoners were not able to roam. And of course, they escaped. Well, sooner or later, you know that they were going to get caught. They thought they were going to live in freedom and bliss forever, which really did not make any sense because they had 1,200 cops out there looking for these guys, 1,200 police officers armed to the teeth looking for these guys. One was finally killed and the other one was critically wounded during his capture. You know, I don't know about you, but I am so glad that we're not talking about African-American convicts and black people committing crimes and so on and so forth. I'm so tired of it. I'm just glad that we're talking about another race of people and we're not really jumping on our race again. Amen. I hope you feel the same way that I do. Anyway, I think right now we are going to take a really quick break, and then we're going to come back with the news. If I can ever find my commercials, I can't find it. Well, maybe we won't have a commercial. Well, that's okay, too, because we really don't need it. You know, in the news, I don't know if you knew it, but actually Greece is asking for a new bailout as meltdown looms over this country. Now, a person by the name of Alexis Tsipras just tried to jam the pin back into the grenade that was about to explode. Less than 9 hours before Greece's bailout package was due to expire, and a day after he was forced to shut down his financial institution or the financial industry for a lack of cash, the Greek premier sought a new deal to maintain an aid lifeline and an umbrella to assure the critical cash flow of the European central bank loans. Now, I don't know if you've been reading the news, but actually Greece has been in trouble for a long time. Okay, they have been lackadaisical with their loans, and they have not been paying it back. And what has happened is that the country in itself is about to go bankrupt. Right now, they have closed down the banks in the entire country for a total of 6 days. And what they have, the only way for people or the citizenry to get cash is by going to the ATM, and I understand that they're only allowed to get 60 euros daily. And I understand that those 60 euros are about $67. So they can't get any more than $67 a day. So I've seen college students, okay, who are having problems, and of course, they have no money anyway. Okay, their parents really can't send them any money because they're only allowed a certain amount of money themselves. There are Americans over in Greece, okay, who are actually on vacation and they can't even spend money. And here they are there to actually boost the economy with their cash. And by the way, you know, I don't know if you know it, but this is affecting our economy as well. Even though the United States has very little to do with the European system because they have their own cash system, you know, we are seeing some spikes. When I say spikes, I'm talking about a downturn in the financial markets here. So we all need to be very, very cautious in what's going to happen next. Amen? I think I have one more. I have a couple more. New Jersey Governor Christie announces the 2016 Republican presidential bid. In Livingston, New Jersey today, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie launched an uphill run for the Republican presidential nomination with his trademark bluster offering up his blunt talk and willingness to tackle the tough issues as the cure for an ailing country. Christie, once seen as a top 2016 White House contender, but now viewed as a long shot, and his dose of New Jersey straight talk could fix a dysfunctional political system and erase the partisan divide in Washington. Well, let's put it this way. Christie is not the only one running on the Republican side. As a matter of fact, he is only one of 14 who are now running in the race, which includes none other than the Donald. And when I say the Donald, we're talking about Donald Trump and his brash talking self. Now, speaking of Christie, you know, I really do not like Christie. And Lord, please forgive me, because I know that we're not supposed to not like people. But let me put it this way. It's not that I dislike the man. I dislike the way he acts. Christie, to me, is a bully. It's not straight talk. It's a bully when you can call people stupid, idiots, and tell them to shut up, and all of these other things that you say to people, and they can't say anything back to you because you're the governor, or you can have them locked up. Okay, so when you act in that manner, you are just a bully. This guy is not presidential material. And by the way, neither is Donald Trump. Donald Trump, he's never really showed it before, but he's a bigot. He talked about Mexican people so bad that I'm embarrassed to repeat what he said. And my point is that if he thinks that way about Mexicans, well, what does he think about Chinese? What does he think about African Americans and all the other races? He has a lot of money, but he's not presidential material anyway. Oh, by the way, let me tell you this. This is really good. You'll like this. A federal report faults the police actions during the Ferguson unrest. Now, this came out today. Police antagonized crowds, they say, who gathered to protest in Ferguson after Michael Brown's death last summer. They violated the free speech and rights and made it difficult to hold officers accountable, according to a Justice Department report that found across-the-board flaws in law enforcement response. The report summary, which includes a two-week period of unrest that followed a white officer fatally shooting the unarmed black 18-year-old in August, also faulted officers for inappropriate use of tear gas, withholding information that would have made public, and relying on military-style equipment that produced a negative reaction in the community. This summary is a part of a longer after-action to be released in the coming weeks, focusing on the actions of the police in Ferguson, St. Louis City and County, and the Missouri State Highway Patrol. Well, what do you have to say about that? Is this any news to you? The truth is that we've always known that. I wonder what they're going to say about the district attorney. I just wonder what. Well, we're just going to have to wait and see. But, you know, racism has never been a new thing in this country. You know, this country has a terrible, terrible history of racism. And, you know, the truth is that, well, we pray that it will end very soon. Well, anyway, that's about it. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go straight to our sermon. Okay, this sermon was actually preached at the Westminster Presbyterian Church, and this was preached last Sunday. You know, it's amazing how, you know, the Lord can give you these sermons, even though you don't know what's happening in the country, and it just happened to be on time, okay, because that's the way the Lord does. The name of the sermon is called I Am What God Says I Am, and the program will start off with a performance by a lovely young lady by Kate Kelsey Sugg and her father, who is blowing the saxophone. Now, Kate and her father are actually from Melbourne, Australia, and actually the father lives there now. Kate lives here. Kate plays keyboards in our church, and she also sings for us from time to time, but she's our keyboard player, and her father is here visiting her, and he bought his saxophone. Take a listen.
Amen. And now we will have a solo.
Come on, let's give God some praise once again for this couple. I started to call them a couple, but for the father and daughter team of Kelsey Sugg. Amen. Let's give God some praise. You know, there's something to be said about a father and daughter that can play music together. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
There's something to be said about that.
Amen.
You know, I tell you, I've seen them, you know, online, and I've heard about some of the stuff that they've done, and the truth is, you know, I'm just amazed. And I told you also that Kate also plays saxophone, too. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So this is actually a family tradition. Actually, I think it was last week or the week before that we got to meet the sister that didn't play anything. But we're certainly glad to have this family as a part of the Westminster family. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give God some praise for them once again, please. My sermon subject today is I Am What God Says I Am. We'll be coming from the book of John, first chapter, starting with the 12th verse. That's John chapter 1, starting with verse 12. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you need me to wait because you can't find something in the New Testament, say wait. And it reads, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Let us pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're here once again, Lord, ready to preach your word. Father, we thank you, God, for the revelation that you've given me. We thank you, Father, for pointing me in this direction. We thank you, Father, for all the wonderful things that you have been doing with me and my preaching. We pray, Father, that you touch the ears of the listeners that are here. We pray, God, that you bless them in a very special way. We pray, God, of course, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you for the remission of their sins, that the church is open for those who want to believe. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen,
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 and amen. Beloved, let me say first that we are living in strange and challenging times, especially for Christians. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today?
Amen.
It's 2015. And 2015 should be a time when we've gotten it together as a society. It should be a time when we are confident because of all the technological advances that we've achieved. It should be a time when we are confident in our manhood. It should be a time when we're confident in our womanhood. We should be confident. Our children should be confident. They should be confident as boys and as girls and as the people that God made them to be.
Amen.
However, in today's day and time, it is not that way at all. Today, many have very little confidence in their identities. This is a time when humanity has been affected with some sort of mass hysteria. We are imagining that we are other than what God has made us to be. And what's even worse is that we allow people without faith to define us. And they do it in a way that is most uncomplimentary. We're called crazy, we're called bigots, we're called homophobes, and we're called many other names that I cannot say from this holy desk. They say that we believe in magic and fairy tales all because We're not ready to buy into the hypocrisy of the world. Now, I can't speak for anybody that's here, but I know who I am. As a matter of fact, let me go as far as saying I am what God says that I am. I will not allow society to put me in a box or categorize me in a way that is untrue, because I'm a child of the King. I belong to the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter what people may say or think. It doesn't even matter what they call me. I'm still a child of the King.
Amen.
He has called me to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not below. I am a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Is anybody a conqueror today?
Yes.
You see, it doesn't matter that society has come up with a new law that will cause many people to go to hell. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter that the whole world is going in the wrong direction. What matters is, do you and I have the courage to continue following the Lord? Do we have the courage to stand for what the Bible says? And can you take the criticism of unbelievers, knowing that God has a place for you in eternity? What matters, beloved, is do you still believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Do you believe that only your Creator can define you? That means that you are what God says you are. Nothing else. No more and no less. In the scriptures that's written by John, and they call him John the Revelator because he also wrote the book of Revelations. Excuse me. John had no problem knowing who God was. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. He was talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He is the Logos. And John had no problem with that. In spite of everything that was going on during his time, John was able to hold on to his faith in Jesus Christ. In spite of all of his friends, all of the apostles, they were either killed or they were beheaded, they were crucified. But he would not let any of that shake his faith. He said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness did not even comprehend it. Once again, he was talking about Jesus, because Jesus is the light of the world. He said, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and yet the world didn't even know him. And there was not a more convincing witness than John. You see, it was John who laid on the chest of Jesus as Jesus spoke. It was John who didn't run away when the Lord Jesus was crucified. It was John, the same John, that Jesus trusted to take care of his mother. John said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but born of God. This is what makes us children of God. This. But the most convincing witness
is when John said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He said that we beheld his glory. That means that John seen it himself. He believed it because he saw it himself. Jesus said to Thomas, who history later called Dudamus or Doubting Thomas, he said, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." This is where the Lord was talking about you and me. He says, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing you." Blessed are you when you believe, even though you can't see. Beloved, more than ever before, the Lord is calling on you and me to be believers. He would have us not to be beguiled by the world's situation, but for you and I to hold on to our faith. The Bible tells us that faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen, and it gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So, therefore, we are to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but we are to fix our eyes on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today?
Amen.
Somebody might ask, "Well, Reverend, how can you believe in something you can't see?" And I have the same answer for them all the time. I say, "I can't see the air, but I continue to breathe it every single day."
Amen.
You see, the world would have you to believe only in those things that you can see and those things that you can feel and those things that you can touch. But those of you who have been saved know that there is so much more. So much more. We know that there's a heaven and a hell, and we know which one we're predestined to go to. I don't know about you, but I know where I'm going. Ray's got a place in heaven. Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I built a place just for you." Is anybody here going to heaven? You see, I know I'm going because I'm a child of the King, and my destination is heaven. Is anybody else here going to heaven?
Amen.
Am I going by myself? We all listen to the news, and we all know what's happening in our society, especially on Friday, June 26th, a day that'll live in infamy to me. Beloved, I'm here to tell you, don't believe the hype. Don't participate in this type of celebration. This is the devil's celebration. It's not ours. We must understand that God lets him win a few battles, but we know how the battle is going to end. We know how the story is going to end. We know about the outcome. So don't be misled. And don't fall in with the wrong doctrine. The Bible tells us, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome doctrine. They will follow their own desires, and they will look upon teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears would like to hear. They will reject the truth, and they will chase myths." So we must hold firmly to that trustworthy message as it was taught to us so long ago, so that we can inspire others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Beloved, once again, I say that these are strange times that we're going to. These are times when there is gender confusion and sin of every form of man It's starting to take place right here before our eyes. Sometimes it seems like we're revisiting Sodom and Gomorrah all over again.
Amen.
But I implore you, brothers and sisters, to hold on to your faith. Don't allow a perverse society to turn you around. You see, we have come this far by our faith, leaning on the Lord's everlasting arms. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Could anybody have gotten this far without the Lord? The Bible has told us many times that days like this was coming, that it was coming. Jesus said, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." We're already seeing this everywhere. We see this in certain families where people just don't get along anymore because of their beliefs, because of their doctrines. This is the way it is. Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace. I came to divide." The wheat and the tare, even though they co-mingle together, sooner or later, they have to be divided. We see that even many Christians are confused about these issues because they do not understand the Word of God. This is why I tell people about Bible study and reading your Bible and holding on to Scripture and memorizing Scripture. Some Christians would rather please the world than please their Lord. Beloved, you have never seen times like this before, so I'm telling you right now, hold fast to your faith. Remember the Scriptures. Read your Bible. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion. He walks around seeking whom he can devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remembering that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering that you and I are going through now. Remember, he is looking for those who are weak in their faith and those who don't know the Word of God. That's who he's looking for. He's looking to divide those from the Christian faith. Beloved, don't allow the world system to confuse you. I know that each of you up until this time have probably been bombarded with what the world is telling you to embrace. This is not what the Lord would have you and I to do. However, let me just be clear. That doesn't mean that we're not to continue to love. The Bible tells us that we must love everybody, including our enemies. But how can you win somebody over if you don't love them first? We are to love the sinner, but hate the sin. Beloved, I'm convinced that God is not through with us yet. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? God is not through with us yet. He has more work for us to do. It just has become a little bit more challenging. So I'm here to tell you today, be encouraged, because our Lord Jesus has overcome the world. This is who we are. We are overcomers. Is there any overcomers here? So let us continue to love one another and live in the faith that we have been taught. Let us continue to encourage one another as we walk this walk of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's give God some praise.
Amen and amen. And that was my sermon just preached yesterday, as a matter of fact. Well, not yesterday, but Sunday, at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Jamaica, New York. And the sermon title was, I Am What I Say That I Am. What God Says I Am. I Am What God Says I Am. And by the way, you also listened to Kate Kelsey Sugg and her father, Andy Sugg, who was playing the saxophone at the start of the lesson. Actually, they're very, very talented. A very, very talented family. Everybody in the family plays saxophone except one of the sisters. And I think I talked about her sort of badly, but the sister's actually very nice. But the brother was here 3 weeks ago. The sister was here 2 weeks ago. And now the father is here. And, you know, they all took turns coming to the United States. They all braved that 15-hour flight from Australia to New York. So we pray that God will continue to bless them and watch over them. And I certainly thank the Lord for that sermon because, you know, there is no real preaching without the Spirit of the Lord. Well, I think that's it for us today. And, you know, God has been so good. He has been really, really good to us. And by the way, you know, some closing thoughts before we go. We all know what's been going on, okay? Right now, our world is in trouble. Our country is in trouble. Our cities are in trouble. You know, we are actually heading in the wrong direction. We're actually heading away from God. We're heading away from the scriptures. You know, as much as I like President Obama, you know, I have a real problem, okay, with a Christian man endorsing homosexuality. I mean, really, really, you know, and, you know, I feel bad criticizing him, but that's how I feel. You know, I mean, my faith is my faith. You know, the Bible talks about homosexuality. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination. That's what the Bible says. That, you know, it's not Raymond saying that. It's what the Bible says. The Bible also says, neither shall thou lie with any beast to defile thyself thereof. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto, because it is confusion. This is not what God would have for any of us to do. You know, we are not supposed to lie down with animals. Men are not supposed to lay down with men. Women are not supposed to lay down with women. So, you know, our president, and yet, you know, we have this confusion with so many Christians who say, well, you know, they're actually on the sympathetic side. Will say, well, you know, you can't stop true love, and you can't. Nonsense. It's against God's law. It's against the law. You know, what's going to be happening sooner or later is you know, these homosexuals and pedophiles and all of these people are going to want to start lying down with your children. And what are we going to say? Well, you can't stop true love. If the child wants it, well, it's okay. I mean, now we have this thing where children are actually telling their parents, you know, if they're a little girl, they're actually telling their parents that, no, I'm not a little girl, I'm actually a boy. And their parents are buying into it. And we're talking about kids that are anywhere from 3 to 8 years old. How are you going to let a kid define your life? How are you going to let a little kid tell you what's right and wrong? Who is the adult? Who is the adult? So, you know, right now, we are going through some type of mass hysteria in this country. And, you know, we know where it's coming from. It's coming from our adversary, the devil. And he has just beguiled so many people, okay, when it comes to this gender thing. Okay, but like I said in my sermon, you know, the devil has to win a few battles. Okay, but we know how the story is going to end. We know what the outcome is going to be because the Bible says that Satan will be cast into hell for eternity. All right, so that's all I can say. You know, well, I can say a whole lot more. And as a matter of fact, let me say this. If you truly love the Lord, if you truly believe in the Bible, don't believe the hype. Do not celebrate these things with these people because it is wrong. It's against God's law. It's against God's law. You know, we're quick to obey man's law. Let's also obey God's law. All right? Homosexuality is not God's way. Anyway, beloved, you have been listening to A Christian Perspective. We hope to see you once again next week right here at the same time on A Christian Perspective. By the way, my name is Raymond Williams, Elder Raymond Williams, and we're looking forward to seeing you once again right here on A Christian Perspective. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and your family. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, you want to hear something funny? I'm actually finding everything right now that I haven't been able to find before. You know, all my commercials, I'm finding them now. I haven't been able to find them before. Anyway, good night and God bless you. And we will talk to you once again. We'll be back next week right here, 8 o'clock, A Christian Perspective, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good night.
You have been listening to A Christian Perspective. A Christian Perspective is broadcast live from New York City every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to contact us, well, you can give us a call at area code 516-385-0896. That's 516-385-0896. Or you can email us at brotherraymond@aol.com. That's brotherraymond@aol.com. If you have a testimony or praise report that you'd like to share with us, you can write us, or maybe the Lord has put it into your heart to send a love offering to help support this ministry. You can send your correspondences to A Christian Perspective, Post Office Box 487, Freeport, New York, 11520. That's A Christian Perspective at P.O. Box 487, Freeport, New York, 11520. For more information, check out our website at www.brotherraymond.com. That's www.brotherraymond.com. A Christian Perspective will be returning next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. In closing, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you until we meet again. Good night.